a little bit of everything and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
And ran a little behind, but your foul-mouthed guest, Brandon Lee, is here. Ian, you brought a guest.
I brought a guest. Don't call him foul-mouthed.
Oh, he's fairly
foul-mouthed. This is his first introduction.
Look,
I should say,
he held me hostage this morning.
Well, yeah, but that
you
was...
You didn't even bring me coffee.
That was just for fun. I said we need to get the hostage role-play over by 8. We've got to be on the air by 9.
It's weird, though, because news people that you've watched for a long... You were on Channel 3 for a long time.
Yeah, 5.5 years.
Yeah, and you know, watching... And everybody... I always marveled at when people found out you had tattoos.
I used to get these things... Wait, what's coming underneath your dress shirt over there? Yeah, the tattoos. And then they go to social media and...
Yeah, they'd see you lounging around in boy piles. Now, I have to be part of that. My wife will go through social media, and you're in boy piles at least once a week. It's these the most impressive specimens of men laying in pools. And I'm like, how do you find this many parties?
Well, we don't
life?
Have kids, so no, we go to the gym.
It's the best. Yeah. We work. So, but it's just abs.
His Instagram is like a modeling website on certain pictures. Yeah. Talking of the...
Except the times Royal Norman shows up. Then
well,
it gets weird. Then
you know.
Just, then it's like the Michelin Man.
Okay, can I say this about Royal? You will never meet someone with a more sarcastic humor off the air when that commercial is running. The things that come out of Royal's mouth, the inside jokes we have, I'm like,
brutal.
If we had mics and cameras rolling during commercial break, our ratings would be through the roof.
Yeah, the gallows humor in a newsroom is insane.
It's dark.
it helps deal with
it. It's the only way to survive, right? Yeah, I mean, news is dark, and you know, 99.9% of the time, news is dark, and if you're just giving dark news all the time, you better make it funny.
Yeah, you have to.
And every humor.
But it's still, you guys are still kind of this weird sacred cow. News people, local news people, because when you hear someone like you, we're just sitting here talking normally, you're swearing and acting like a human being. It's like when a teacher used to be in a restaurant and you'd hear him say something like, oh my God.
You're like, they're a real person.
You're
a
real
a robot.
Human being. Yeah, because
it's
you're so robotic. You're forced to be so robotic.
Well, you guys didn't put any money in my robot machine, so now you get the real me.
You get the real Brandon.
Sorry.
Talking of the real Brandon and the tattoos, so we share a dry cleaners, right?
Oh.
There's a lady called Leslie. Hi, Leslie. She's at Uptown Dry Cleaning.
Good
she
Lord.
Texts me this morning, and she goes, is today Brandon Day? So I go, yeah. And she goes, have you seen his tattoos? And I went, when he used to take his dry cleaning in, did you make him take his clothes off in front of you to do the dry cleaning? And it turns out they did.
They did. They'd come in, and the girl at the front, she would... What can we say here?
We'll
find
out.
Okay.
Go. I got a button.
Anyway, I was like thinking, uh-oh, this could be bad. I show up there, and the girl gets on the phone, and she goes... And all of a sudden, all the girls in the back would come to the front. They're like, take off your shirt. Take off your shirt. And I always wear like a wife beater tank top underneath, right? Because it's so hot. You don't want to go in a dress shirt to work.
That's
like,
why.
Take it off. And so, you know, I was like, all right, I'll take it off for you once.
Right.
Yeah. And so.
You don't have to do that.
Well, they were so nice.
And every week he'd come in, they're like, you've got to stand on the one you're wearing again.
Yeah, and also, this is how you know when you can work on yourself, right? Because since Brandon's left, Leslie says I'm her most famous client, which is fine.
And she never once asked you to take
Well, here's the thing. This is what I was about to say. When I go in there, right, her daughter comes out and she goes, Mom, the English guy's here, and the whole family congregate around the counter and they go, just talk to us. Yeah. I don't have to take off any clothes.
Really?
For me, it's like,
no,
just
they
talk.
Bring him a long sleeve sweater.
I was going to say, this coat would look good on you.
Yeah, exactly. Put some more clothes on.
I think some
and
people
now
are like listening, being like, my dry cleaners isn't that fun.
Yeah, man.
Uptown, baby. Uptown
Central
Phoenix.
I love my
dry
cleaners to be that fun. I'm a little jealous that not one business in my 47 years of life has ever said, take off your shirt.
Yeah.
Except the doctor, and that's usually a bad thing.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee is here. He's got a book out, and like I bring up and kind of set up the whole thing of it being a sacred cow and being the robot that people saw you as, the news anchor. And the only time I ever contacted you was after you did the dog story. You did a big kind of a couple nights.
During Delta, when Delta put the ban on pit bulls.
Yes, and you had the pit. You're a pit bull guy.
Huge pit bull
guy. I just lost
huge
one of mine.
Huge advocate for
and
it.
Yeah, me too. And it's, people, always people that are the problem. So I remember texting you going, hey, nice job. That was kind of a brave thing I'm sure you did without a lot of support.
Let me tell you, I got a lot of support emails, but I did get a ton of people telling me that I'm fake. Right. You're fake news. You're putting out fake statistics and you don't know the truth and all you're doing. No.
No.
You know, I always say this to people, and somebody's like, oh, you're an advocate for the breed and you shouldn't be. I'm like, no, but actually is, you know, being part of the news is giving a voice to those that can't speak. So who's fighting for those dogs and who's right. fighting for that breed and who's right. speaking their truth?
Exactly.
You know, that's the point of news, is to be an advocate for those who can't
yeah,
speak.
And I thought it was
you
fair.
Don't have a voice.
I thought it was fair and everything else. Then you look at it and you're like, oh, okay. And I didn't know your history at all.
Yeah.
And then Ian said through many, many, many stalking attempts through your Instagram and following
this is not true. I will say this. I will say this. We have spoken about you on this show. I would say.
Oh, I know. I would walk into the studios and my.
Did you hear about the time that he actually did stalk you?
No, this is not stalking. He happened to be. I don't know if you remember
this.
Look
at how red his face is.
Not stalking.
Right now.
It was not stalking. Okay.
Let me tell the story.
No, because you're
no, because
you
I'll tell it
tell
truthfully.
It.
My
you
wife.
There.
My
you
wife.
Don't know.
Shut up, Ian. It's my show.
Oh,
it's your
actually,
segment. It's my show.
Hang on a minute. Right. I was actually thinking of a different example. Yeah.
So my
I
wife.
The story you're about to tell.
My wife followed you on Instagram yeah. and knows that Ian was creepily invested in your Instagram.
Why?
Page.
Because she saw he was like double tapping my pictures
every time. Like oddly, so she texts and said, "Oh my God, Brandon's down at I don't know Jordan Dragon or something."
No, it was some restaurant.
Or you were at Jordan Dragon.
No, you're getting the stories.
Anyway,
let
you're
me tell
hold
this
on.
Story.
You're plastered.
You're confusing this
He's
story.
Plastered downtown.
No,
you're somewhere
you're
close.
You're combining two stories.
Yeah. Gets a text. And the text comes in from my wife, and he's like, oh, no, I've got like 14 of these texts. I know he's right down the road. He's blitz. Sees you. Oh, no, that's right. He
no.
sees you walking down the road with your dog.
No,
he's deathly afraid of animals.
This is a completely different side. Okay, yes, yes, right, no, I'm scared. Taking
and
control
and
now.
Like, how's my
no,
hair look?
No, no.
How's my
I'm,
hair look?
Okay, I'm,
and
right.
he chased
no,
you.
You've completely ruined this.
And he pet
you've
your dog.
Right, you've ruined this. These are two yeah. completely separate stories.
Yeah. He's like, take your shirt off.
Right, yeah. okay, no. Right, shut up a minute. I know this is technically your show. This is Canfield in the Morning, this segment.
All right, go.
Okay, the story he was trying to tell you was that there was a Saturday night where you were out somewhere and you'd Instagrammed a picture of a table because you were waiting for a date and they hadn't turned
oh,
up,
that's
right?
Right?
Oh my God,
okay.
Okay. Right.
So,
right.
so,
I did.
I start getting text messages from people we know and work with who are going, have you seen Brandon's Instagram? He's been stood up on his date. You need to get down to the Gladly Now and blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
and I'm like, this is ridiculous. So that
was the Henry, actually.
It the was Henry. Right?
Hashtag
okay.
fill
yeah.
the seat.
So,
then in walked the Jack of Clubs. Yeah. Met Ian.
It's too bad you didn't come. I was very vulnerable that night.
Oh my God. Megan was right. So that was what, that was one
keep
story.
Keep that kind of crap over it all, Daisy. You two keep it over there.
Excuse me. We're going to audition for a new show there.
Please.
I'm talking about the trip.
It was
later.
A different one when you stalked him and his dog.
No. So the second one, that was just everyone blowing up my phone.
This
I'm
is
like,
terrible.
This is ridiculous. See, you do this segment, everyone knows everything about you. So people start texting going, Brandon's lonely in the Henry. You should get that. I'm like, I'm not going to randomly walk in there. No. However, if it was to be a totally random encounter, that would be fine. Fast forward to my George
you know
Dragon
what I like
story.
To picture, though, in that moment when you're getting all those texts and Brandon's sitting alone at the Gladly?
Yeah.
Is that you in kind of a dimly lit room with a small pint of ice cream and your hair in curlers. I couldn't possibly get the Gladly in time. That's when I'm, and don't ruin that, because
okay.
that's mine.
All right, well, that's his little gay vision. So the random example was last summer, Manchester United, the soccer club, came to play at Glendale Stadium, right? So we went up there. They did a bus from the Georgian Dragon for a load of drunk Brits. You can imagine what this is like. It's like football, soccer fans going up there, 10 pints to drink, then back to the Georgian Dragon afterwards, right? So I'd been drinking since about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's now about 11 o'clock at night. And I'm there with our friend Coz, who you met downstairs.
Yeah.
By the way, Coz came straight up to Brandon immediately. She was like very enthusiastic. You know?
Yeah, I was I'm
like,
sure.
I was like, you're not the right flavor, Coz.
Yeah, but
like,
it doesn't matter.
I can convince
that part
him.
Doesn't matter. She's
anyway.
Enthusiastic for you.
Yeah.
This is a dream come true. Sorry, Brandon, it's true.
So I'm like, I think I've had enough. So we open the door, and the Georgia Dragon inside is like really dark. We open the door to the outside, and suddenly you're walking up Central with your pit bull, right?
Yum.
Now, you need to know the background to this. I've genuinely got a dog phobia. For as long as I know, I've been terrified of dogs, right? So I'm 10 pints in, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I say to Coz, is that Brandon Lee? And she goes, oh my God. Okay. And I'm like, no.
And they chased you for a quarter mile.
I'm like, he's sober. I can't talk to him now. She's like, yes, you can. You go for him. Yeah. I'll go for the dog. Right? So we go.
Do you
on the
remember
road.
Running from Estelle Getty and the Jack of Clubs on Central Avenue?
So we go up the road.
I remember this
and
night.
She goes,
I'm sober. I remember everything.
Can I pet your dog?
Yeah. And you tried to pet his dog despite your irrational fear of dogs.
I was like, I'm going to man up. I can do this for having a conversation with Brandon. So I have
and
no idea.
And she is the sweetest pit bull ever.
Ever.
I know.
All
what's her name?
Yeah. Khaleesi.
Oh, nice.
Mother of Dragons.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, do you ever regret? No, I don't regret naming her Khaleesi.
Never.
She was cheering Khaleesi on when she was burning down.
Damn
the
right.
City.
I've got somebody had to do
I've
it.
Got Coco.
All these
the Coco Chanel.
Yeah. Yes, nice.
The dog. Yeah. The dog Sweet. Was lovely. I manned up and was around the dog for the sake of speaking to Brandon. Coz did a terrible job of separating Brandon and I from the dog because at one point while I'm trying to make drunken conversation with a man 10 years sober, I feel the dog start to lick my leg.
Yeah. She's a licker.
Man, that's yeah. what they do.
We told this story on air the next week, and John's like, are you sure it wasn't Brandon?
Yeah,
I was
Brandon.
Like, no. I was like, and he goes, are you sure it wasn't Coz trying to lick you? I'm like,
I
no.
just like how you ended the conversation, Brandon, which was, how much money do I have to make you go away? Yeah.
Listen, homeless yeah. guy.
Now, let's talk about yeah. why you're really here, because, I mean, this is, despite having Ian stalk you for a long time, and it's big of you to say, all right, then you text Ian and say, I'd like to talk about the book. Ian's not allowed to have guests on his show because when he talks too much, the ratings plummet even further. So, and that's, they don't have far to fall, but boy, you can't do this kind of stuff. So you've written a book and he said, Brandon wants to talk about the book. And I'm like, I bet it's fascinating.
It's really intense.
Your life is not anything like I would imagine any other news person.
The way you look.
Give yeah. Well, no, it's yeah, I mean, it truly is probably the unique story in your world.
I think it's probably unique that I'm actually speaking out about it. I actually probably think it happens a lot more than we ever know.
Really?
I do. If you take, for example, if you just Google this guy, Chris Burrows, in the news, yeah, okay. you may remember the story. It was back in December. He was a weekend anchor in Los Angeles.
Oh, I do know.
Yeah. And yep, they yep. ended up finding him in a motel room.
Right.
With a bunch of crystal meth in his system, and if yeah. you look at it, and he was living this double life too, and you would have never known it had he just watched him on the news. So yeah. I actually think it happens a lot more.
He was also married, wasn't he? He had kids.
He was married, and he was having sex with another man yeah. in a motel room. So there was a lot of kind of a double life yeah, living yeah. there, and you know, going on a drug binge with this guy. But yeah, I think it happens more often than not. I just think that there's such a stigma attached to any sort of drug addiction or alcoholism that if people you know, if people are struggling, they don't want to ask for help because all of a sudden they're gonna have a target on their back from society being yeah. like, oh man, he's a drunk, he's wasted, he's no good,
right?
And so that was one of the things when I was doing a huge documentary on the opioid crisis here,
right.
I got about 8.5 years sober at the time and was doing it here in the Valley, and when I ran that story, that documentary, we had so many comments of people being like, oh, these people are trash, they're scum, they're right. losers, they're homeless. And it broke me
really?
That I had to walk away, and I sat there and in silence for a while, and I said, you know what, Brandon, you got to do something. You got to put a face to this. You got to show people that that's not true. Addiction does not discriminate, man. Come
right.
with me to a 12-step meeting. You'll see doctors, lawyers, pharmaceutical reps. I mean, addiction does not discriminate. And the only way we break that stigma, in my opinion, is by putting a face to it. You know, the Me Too movement that happened
sure.
2 years ago. That gave – the good part about the Me Too movement was it made it safe for somebody to come online, put a face to their sexual harassment
right.
or their, you know, being sexually abused, to get that demon out, to get that weight out.
Right.
And so I'm telling all my sober brothers and sisters, break your anonymity. You got time,
yeah.
break your anonymity. Put a face to what you went through. Make it easier for that person who's struggling at home to
right.
say, you know what, Brandon, whoa, he has 10 years sober. He was doing that. He did that.
But yeah. the well, things you did, I mean, the book's called Mascara Boy. You can get it anywhere,
right.
and it's out now, and you can get it. But the things you were doing, I mean, would shock.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when did it start?
It's shocking.
What age did you start?
15 years old. I was in Laguna Beach. 15 years old, we're doing lines of cocaine at a beach house. In
first time?
First time doing cocaine. We were doing rails of cocaine.
And because?
Now I know why.
Okay.
At
the time, what did you think when you were doing it?
It was like Cruel Intentions.
Okay.
You know the movie Cruel
yeah,
Intentions?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to a private Catholic high school, and we were all doing cocaine at the beach on the weekends. You know, like, we were growing up in Orange County. It's like the
right.
most beautiful part of this country.
Yeah.
It's stunningly beautiful in Laguna Beach and Newport Beach. And
so were you drinking first, though? I mean, like,
oh, we were drinking and doing early,
practice. Yeah. And
yeah.
then you rolled into the, said, let's break out.
Break oh, yeah. Out. Well, the first time I ever did alcohol, I was junior class. I was seventh grade class president.
Yeah.
And this is like the good double life that I started living at seventh grade.
They give you a drink for being president?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah,
that's yeah, the reward.
This is the best thing.
Yeah, toast. Here's champagne. And it was downhill from there.
Yeah. I broke into my parents. You know, like, all parents have like a little alcohol fridge.
Sure.
And so I broke into it. I got all the wine coolers. I brought all the wine coolers to school. And we all got drunk. And I got busted because some good kid, goody two shoes, turned
Jerk,
me in.
Brady.
Yeah. Every school has one. And I got busted. And this is how I got out of it. I was like, no, look, it's fruit. It's fruit juice. Look at all the fruit on the label.
Really?
So at seventh grade, I was already lying
crafty,
and manipulating
yeah.
and crafty, getting myself out of this
right.
trouble. So I got suspended for a week. home suspension. I'm like, I'm going to drink all day.
Vacation.
That's all you did. Right?
That's all I did. Drink wine.
So then you start. So you advance on. You're doing, and it was peer pressure, whatever reasons.
Yeah, you know, it was just, I don't even know. It was just around, and all my friends did it. None of those friends I was doing those drugs with have any drug issues today. I'm still friends with them.
None of them
turned out to it. But, you know, I needed to know the why. Like, people ask me all the time, even in recovery up until 5 or 6 years, I didn't have an answer for it. People were like, how did you, of all people, become an addict? Like, what happened with you? And finally, when I got into intense therapy is when I realized that, you know, listen, I was repeatedly sexually abused by my piano teacher every Friday night.
No kidding.
During lessons. Every time I'd messed up, he would assault me.
Can you play the piano?
Next mistake. No, I can't.
Oh, you're going to get your money back for that one.
You know what it is?
That's a terrible
teacher. After that, I was like traumatized. I see a piano. I was like, no, thanks. I'm cool.
Should have done guitar.
Like, I'm cool with that.
Everybody knows that happens with piano.
And like realized that, like, listen, the reason why I was escaping at age 15 was because a lot of that trauma went untreated. And it wasn't even just my piano teacher. It was also my youth soccer coach. And he was my next door neighbor. And so it was multiple traumas that happened to me untreated that eventually the moment I felt that numbness, I was chasing that numbness. Yeah, okay. I was chasing that good times.
That's crazy. So this graduates into your teen years and goes on for how long?
Well, sex addiction happened when I was 15, 16. So
now you say, and this is where I told Ian, this is where I always push back. I hate that it's called addiction.
Yeah, well, I'll tell
and
you why.
It mainly came from the Tiger Woods thing. I never thought I'd say this, but Brandon Lee, maybe you can straighten me out.
Well, you're already pretty straight.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Well, I don't know. You'd be surprised with some of the things he says on this show.
Like, you are pretty hetero.
I'm sure. I'll give it a go. Look, please, look at how I'm dressed.
You know, anytime I tell him a story about what's going on in my life, it goes from, like, I might have been on a date. Within 10 seconds, he's taken it to a scene on Pornhub.
Of course.
So
I
wouldn't say, that he's that straight.
I'm just helping
For his birthday last year, I went to Zia Records. I bought him one of those big rainbow mugs that says, "Nobody knows I'm gay" on it.
I'm confident. I'm fine with who I am. But now, damn it, I forgot what I was going to ask. The sex addiction thing I have a problem with because I do believe there's a true issue. This is my thought. I do believe there's a true issue with people who can't control the impulse.
Correct.
And I do believe that it's being done for a multitude of reasons.
Absolutely. But
it's become a thing where people who make mistakes in life with their impulses have used it as an excuse and negate the truth of it, of, you know, bipolar disorder, bipolar 2 especially, have major issues with people using sex as their outlet, and that's a mental disorder. So it's actually more of a
because
mental
your
illness.
Main argument was that there's not a physical.
My main argument is you're not physically altering your body with something that your body then needs. You're doing it with natural things that your body will crave. And so calling an addiction gives the right of people who aren't addicted to anything to use it and then kind of negate its importance. And I think that's why people don't talk about it. It's like, oh, it's an addiction. They did this to themselves. Where I think bipolar disorder and things like that are not an addiction. They're not something like that. And people don't realize it's happening to them. So I think it's more of not to say that I'm right about this and maybe a poor choice, but mental illness may be more of an accurate description, and however it came about, than it is addiction, which I think is more for something that you place in yourself.
Right. Well, I will say this is that as an addict, I have a thinking problem. I never told – and the way I escaped my thinking problem, the way I dealt with issues was to do drugs and booze. Okay. So that's what I chose.
Sure.
Like, I still have a thinking problem, so I always have to constantly go through therapy because I have a thinking problem. So some people choose food to cope. Some people choose kickboxing and go nuts at kickboxing. Right. We can choose a bunch of different things. Some people choose sex. For me, I did drugs and sex. Like, one went hand in hand. Like, the things I was doing sexually when I was high would be nothing that I would do sexually sober.
For instance.
Ian,
get out of the room.
Should I close my ears? Is it gonna be upsetting?
No, close your legs. What's wrong with you?
I will tell you this scene. And this is where I say, once you hear my story about sex addiction, you will know that it was unmanageable.
Okay.
I mean, there were times where at the depths of my addiction when I was using crystal meth for the last 6 months of my drugging use. That's all it took was 6 months of crystal meth to take me down. I was a GHB guy, which is a liquid date rate drug, for like a decade. And then I got into meth and I was doing a combination of both. But this is the thing, as far as sex-wise. I used to go out to Palm Springs and go to these, you know, sex parties.
Right.
And there would be like 100 people at these sex parties. So in one night you would have, 100 sex partners.
What?
Yeah. And at one
point, how in the world?
Right. And so that's what I mean. And so even at age 15, 16, 17, when I was in Laguna Beach, all right, that was like the gay epicenter of like America at the time in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I used to go down there at age 15 and 16 and have sex with a different guy every night of the week.
God.
I did that for 4 years before I went to New York. for school, NYU. So multiply that. I mean, that's like 365 wow. people a week. And I would, as an addict and as a guy who was dealing with gay shame, because you couldn't be a gay athlete. I played soccer overseas. Like, I was on the Olympic development program team. So, like, you couldn't be out at that time. So I didn't want to have sex with the same person twice, because if I had sex with the same person twice, they would know who I am and they would out me.
Wow.
So now it was a different person every single night.
Had to rotate.
For those 4 years. So, like, that is addiction. Like, that's unmanageable.
That's
so
just being super attractive.
You know. Hey, you know, so I always ask people with anything. I'm like, is it unmanageable? Are you starting to skip work because of this behavior? Are you losing friendships because of it? Are you not showing up for work? Are you showing up late? Are you calling out sick? If you're if the answer to those questions are then your life is becoming unmanageable. It's becoming unmanageable, which can be a root cause of something else. And that's the important thing that was for me, is that I needed to realize it was those early days of childhood of trauma that I needed to address, I needed to confront in order for me not to go back to drugs or go back to the thing about sex. What I love talking about is that sex is good. It's healthy. Like, it's natural. We should be having lots of it. But
maybe not 100 people a night.
Yeah, that's a
I mean, doesn't that wear you out?
That's a little dangerous and tiring.
It's totally dangerous. But that's the thing, is like, you know, when you're dealing with drugs and alcohol, you want to quit it all, right? If you're an addict, you quit. You can't quit sex.
Right.
Sex is
That's
healthy.
Why I have a problem with the word addiction, is because with drugs, you can't say, well, just do less.
Well, you know what I did with sex for the first year or two? I didn't have any sex for almost 2 years.
You have to cut it out.
And so, correct. And so that first year, no sex, no porn. I was a huge porn guy too.
Oh, wow.
And so my sponsor said to me, you cannot watch porn for a year, and you can't go on a date for a year. You can't have sex for a year.
Not worth
it. So that first year. But I only had sex when I was high on drugs. So you take away the drugs, like, this didn't work.
No kidding.
Like, my body wouldn't function.
Wow.
So, like, I was even nervous about that. Like, I'm going to say, is this ever going to work again?
Holy cow.
Because I want to be the machine.
I want to be I need that back to work. But here's
what times so a night to nothing.
Pulling it out. It said I'm out for a while.
Yeah, Brady, imagine 100 chicken wings a night.
Well, I was just comparing them. Like, it's like me trying to have lunch with a different person every day.
Wait a minute.
Which
you
I've
can
been
do
doing
that.
For a while.
You can do that. Wow.
You know, my sponsor told me this. He was like, dude, you went from the brothel to the convent. Like, there's a middle of the road.
Right.
And we need
and
to get you.
And that's what they recommend. You got
to. I think I did the middle of the road the one time I went to Palm Springs. I had sex with one guy and saw Kathy Griffin do a show.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
You should write a book. That's the most That's the most horrifying night I've ever heard in my life.
That probably killed it.
Yeah. It doesn't. It hasn't worked for years.
Well, Brandon, I'm fascinated by this whole thing, and I don't want you to give away the whole game, but Mascara Boy is available, and people know you in the city, and I don't know that they know about you. They know your name. They know what you look like, and
I think that's the news thing. I think they're going to be shocked by it.
What do you think the people at your work think, or former work, your former employers at Channel 3?
I don't think many of them have read the book yet.
Yeah.
How many jaws are dropping?
Yeah.
Scott Passmore is a good friend of mine. He was interviewing me on Monday, and I was like, listen, you're not going to have time to read the whole book, but read this chapter. He goes, no, I'm going straight to the one that says sex addiction.
Yeah.
And he read it, and he was like,
floored.
He was floored. Yeah. He's like, yo, brother.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He had no idea. And you've been friends with him for a long time.
He's like, I'm so jealous.
No, none of them, though. Yeah, but right? He's like, how was it? No, he was just like, man, he's like, yo, man, that's some crazy stuff. I can't believe you're saying all that. And I'm like, dude, I'm saying it because I know that there are other people out there.
Yeah, it's going to help other people.
Yeah, of course, because somebody out there is going to be like, oh, it just helps when you know their strength in numbers, that somebody else has gone through the crap that you've gone through. That just makes it easier.
And it's not like the thing that I'm sure we'll get emails and I'll just not deal with a lot of it. I'll answer them. But it's like, you know, it's not a gay stigma. It's not it's like you said, I'm just saying, if people who listen will go, oh, it's because of that.
Oh, it's because
impossible.
He's gay?
I can't look at it. Yeah, it's just, it's because of that. Yeah. And there'll be people with their mindset of like, well, that's why that happened. You know, if you're a normal, quote, person.
Well, it's also, why not be one of the guys that eventually, you know, the majority of the viewer emails I got were from women. Women were quite aggressive. I would actually get a lot of topless emails from women.
No kidding. What's your email?
And I would actually forward them to, like, HR. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
Send them to friends.
But I would laugh because I'm like, all you got to do is a Google search. Yeah. I mean, is it that hard to find out? It's pretty easy to figure out. But these women the girls are like, oh, no, we can fix you. We can change you.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a
great
women. Like, always start to think, like, I don't care. But
that's why I like when people think, oh, you talk to Ian all the time. You must be gay. And I'm like, you know what? It's just going to work for me later if that's the case. Chicks do I can fix that.
Right.
Like, it's a key they can turn. I think it's great. But it is a fascinating thing because the stigma that's attached to all sorts of sex and this and that, when you're not in the same category.
Right.
people will be like, oh, that's just because that's prevalent in their world. And it's not the case.
It's not the case at all. And you know what? I had this guy on my podcast, and he's like this totally macho dude. And he was sexually abused at his boys' camp, like a camp that he grew up going to. And he's straight, and he deals with that. He's got a wife and kids, and he's like – he had fear of telling people that he was molested by by older guys at his camp because the stigma is, oh, he must be gay
then. He's gay, right.
Yeah. And that's why we just have to speak that start out there and start talking about it, because it's like these stereotypes feed into the
– Dale, come on over here. Dale, I've seen
that. Well, we wait for Dale to come over because it'll take some
time. Dale, sit in your chair over there.
Because Brandon lives in L.A. now. He got a chip on his windshield while he was driving up. He needs to go see my friends at New Vision Auto Glass, who are the proud sponsors of Canfield in the Morning. If you go to New Vision Auto Glass, you can get up to a $250 rebate. That's New Vision Auto Glass. See clearly, drive safely. They say if you show them your tattoos, they'll give you like a discount on the, all right?
Oh,
they're
really?
Just up on Tom. Okay. Yeah.
Which one is that? I got a bunch of mics on for that.
So thank you, New Vision Auto Glass.
And I have to ask you this before we get Dale in on here. Why is it called Mascara Boy?
Okay, so my entire, like when I was a little boy, obviously look at my eyes, right? People always ask me, like, are you wearing mascara?
I always thought
eyeliner.
You
everybody always
Eric
does.
Eric thinks you've had tons of plastic surgery. Have you? Eric's
I mean,
there.
I get Botox. You know what? You know, I told you I have an appointment today?
Yeah.
Botox. I get Botox.
You get Botox.
Yeah, I get
no,
Botox.
No, like, carving or anything like that.
No.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now,
it's chiseled.
Look
it's
at Eric. He's just jealous.
Of course he is. He was born with that face.
Oh, like, you know, I told Cam, I was like, yo, listen, man. I was like, I got an appointment at 11 o'clock. Do you think I can make it to my Scottsdale appointment at 11? It's Botox. So, anyway, it is. Do you know, I tell my plastic surgeon she's a badass here in Scottsdale. And, and she's like, well, you know, you just got to fly back. I'm like, fly back? Come on now. I'm not going to fly back for to get frozen. She's like, remember you asked me to look like Tom Ford by the time you're 55? She's like, you got to keep coming back.
Now, what would you recommend for Dale to get?
Well, actually, I'm looking at it. I'm going to go, maybe I'm doing Botox in the wrong part of my body. I thought it was supposed to go in your belly.
No, you're Botox in the tongue. It's tight, though, and smooth.
That's a good idea, though, Dale.
Okay, so Mascara Boy, really quick. Yeah. People always thought I was mascara. Even viewers here, they're like, why do you wear mascara? You look like Johnny Depp. And then I had a news director come in and actually berate the makeup artist one day.
Too much
Stop
mascara?
Stop putting mascara on him. He put his hand on my face, and I said, get your hand off my face.
Yeah.
And finally, like, kid you say, when I was growing up, they used to bully me, Mascara Boy, Mascara Boy, you little. So I'm like, okay. Listen,
Mascara
bullies,
Boy.
Now it's the title of my book.
Yeah.
Take it, you know?
Yeah, and he's lucky because 10 years earlier, a guy put his hand on your face, you'd had sex with him.
Not this guy.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I
you still had standards.
Well, I don't
know. Then it's not an addiction.
Wow.
I was right. If you're looking at Dale going, no, I'm not addicted to anything.
It was a filtered addiction.
Wow. You get through 100 a night and still have standards in Palm Springs? Wow.
Yeah. I stand by my not addiction. Because if you're I'm going to bang everybody except you.
Yeah, can you imagine that going down the line, getting to Holmberg and going, no, it's good.
Oh, I'm top of the list in this room. Brandon, break down while you're sex addicted. This room, in order. No, Dale is former Dallas Cowboy, three-time world champion.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Right. Well, do you have any questions for Brandon? Do you remember Brandon from Channel 3?
I don't watch
Did you ever watch
I don't watch Channel 3.
Ooh, why?
What station did you watch? I'm just curious.
Usually Channel 10 because they have the early news.
So did they. They were earlier than them.
Yeah, 4 a.m.
I don't know if my cable provider provided Channel 3.
Oh.
Dale would get his news from Pat Robertson.
Also, everyone's pretty on Channel 3. It's easily the best channel.
Do you have any questions for him, Dale? I want to hear what you've sat and listened to this whole thing. What are your questions?
Have you discovered you have an addiction?
I wish I had an addiction.
Do you know anybody in the world of sports? There had to be somebody in the Cowboys who was probably addicted to
sex. Well, again, I think you sit there and look at it, and you could say there's a guy or two that you and I know, we don't need to say names, you think would possibly have an addiction. But I don't know. I don't know when it becomes an addiction. Is it when there's 100 people involved, or is it 10 people, or is it five times a week?
When do you start wondering?
I knew I had it was a combination of a lot. I mean, when I would have sex with those guys at age 16, 15, 16, 17 in Laguna Beach, dealing with gay shame, this is tragic.
Where were your parents?
Right.
Answer is in the question.
The answer is in the question.
Okay, I got
you. So, you know, I'd go home and I would look at myself in the mirror and I'd actually physically beat myself, like my chest until I was black and blue, because I was like, you'll never do that again. You'll never do that again. You'll never do that again. And the next night, I was doing it again.
Catholic guilt,
everything, right? You show up to Catholic school all the time. This is the funny thing. You want to know about my parents? This is what they did. My parents were not a religious folk yet. I had to go to Catholic school. Huh. My parents didn't go to church, but I had to go to catechism. And I had to go every Wednesday to get confirmed. And my parents were like, why don't you want to go? Because I used to fight it all the time. I'm like, yeah, because these nuns and priests are telling me I'm going to burn in hell. You're dropping me off to this place every freaking Wednesday. And then I'm going to school every day with all these people saying you're going
to
burn in hell.
They want you to have the best education.
Yeah. Right.
But you still have to go through the steps of that.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. But you go back to everybody has a different rock bottom. So everybody's life, I just always go back to that same like unmanageability. Like if you're drinking too much, like people ask me, how do you know when you hit rock bottom? To me, I knew. But I was on my deathbed twice in a week.
Yeah,
I was in
a
coma.
Times, yeah.
Two drug overdoses in L.A. was on a coma, life support.
Wow. And while you're working at Channel 11
in Los Angeles. I had never lost my job, never lost my car, never lost my house. I had money in the bank. Everything was going and was living this double life until
Did it not affect the work though? You got to be on camera, you got to be to shoots on time, you got to cover the news.
Makeup artist in LA are amazing.
Yeah. And plus it was heroin chic time, so all the news people were looking.
It was like that dark, you know, the girls were wearing the black eyeshadow. I was wearing the mascara anyway, right? No, we literally go there. There would be times where like I hadn't slept in like 48 hours and I'd go back on the news and be in the makeup artist. But the girls never blinked an eye. I mean, everybody was partiers in LA. That's what they were used to. They were soap opera. They did the makeup for the soap opera stars and they'd come over to the news people and do it. And they're like, oh, you all people are nuts and party and rock and roll stars.
And they were probably all
high
too. Yeah, exactly. Dale, what's the thing you've been close? Oh, you had an addiction to chew.
Oh, I dipped.
Yeah.
I dipped.
And you still have to chew the gum to keep it off, right?
That's because I started cigars.
Okay, now take that. Okay, wait. Let me just ask you this question. Right. So take that feeling of like that craving that you would get for a chew.
Yep.
Yeah, and turn it into a penis.
And,
now, close your eyes immediately and imagine.
No, he's like, now get a little closer to the microphone. No, but I mean, imagine that. Just take that same feeling, now put it towards anything else, like sex.
Right.
And then try and stop it. If you're not working a program and you're not actually working to fix it, that craving's, you're not going to be able to overtake that craving.
But if you look like me, you got to still, if you want to have a sex addiction, you got to have partners.
Right. We're going to learn an advantage.
Dale is saying it would be a lot of hard work for him to get a sex addiction.
Because with yourself, it gets old.
What Dale would have is a rape addiction.
Oh, God.
Because, I mean, it would be both of us. Would be very difficult to go, how much you get tonight, Dale? Well, I struck out every time. I tried for 100. I got to zero.
Yeah. Well, listen, there is a porn addiction thing. And so this is one thing my first sponsor in the program was a straight dude.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was like, how much do I share with you?
Right.
Because he was like, tell me about the sex. Tell me about, I was like, are you sure you want to know? And then he'd ask me about porn. Because this is fascinating because there is such thing as porn addiction. There's
I struggle with that.
I know.
Too.
Okay. I'll tell you why. So anyway, he goes, certain aspects of it. So he goes, so what kind of porn are you watching? And I'm like, yo, bro, it's gay porn. No. What kind of porn? I was like, you're straight. You really want to know?
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, let me ask you this. He goes, are they high in this porn? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're high.
No kidding.
He goes, oh, they're he goes, oh, okay. So how often do you watch it? Every day. Oh, he goes, oh, good. So for 15 minutes every day, you're watching guys get off who are wasted, tweaker high.
Yeah.
So you're essentially brainwashing yourself as that's the only way you can get off.
Yeah. And it's kind of a normalcy.
Yeah. And he's like, so that was the part that I had to rewire. So that was why it was no porn for a year and no sex for a year was to rewire. So.
Dale, how much porn do you watch today?
Yeah.
I don't watch much porn at all.
Much.
Well, I see you show me stuff every day.
He's like, I look at your Instagram feed.
It's
my
a cry for help, Dale. Why don't you listen? Yeah, it's fascinating, though, and it's an amazing story. I'm also curious, when you were at Channel 3 and stuff, how much of your life were you like, look, you couldn't possibly, with the audience of news, say, I'm Brandon Lee, I'm gay, and I've got a history.
No.
And I can't do a story about that.
No.
But they let you separate, to some extent, social media from on air.
Sure, social media. I'm talking about, like, there had to be a drive in you to say, I want to do a story about this, but I don't know if I can even tell my boss.
Well, there was a huge story. That's how I did the opioid epidemic story.
Right.
I had access because—
Did you tell people you were an addict in that story?
No.
You couldn't have done that.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
But afterward is when that's what spurred me to come out about being an addict, when I saw everybody yelling at addicts that they're scum on earth.
Right.
And so I was like, that's interesting because obviously you just watched my report, so you watch me. Do you think I'm scum?
Yeah.
Because that was once me.
That was you.
So essentially that's why I came out,
right.
You know, as far as me being a drug addict. But I did that opioid epidemic story because I knew about the crisis that was happening.
Sure.
Right, I'm in recovery, so I see it all the time. I work with I work with guys to get them sober who've got like 3 or 4 months and they're heroin addicts. So I'm in it every day. So I see it. So that's why I push for that story to be done. And so in that sense, I felt like I was kind of doing my part, but felt that I needed to come out publicly. But it was the same thing that happened with the Me Too movement. It was the first time I ever came out publicly that I was sexually abused.
Yeah, and it's and but to an audience of people probably in their late 60s on the other side of town watching Brandon Lee deliver them information.
Oh, I trust me, I got a lot of hate.
I can imagine the, that turned being on a gay, you quickly.
Yes, it's Arizona as much progress as we've made, and there's a ton of progress here in Arizona, which I'm grateful for. It's still there's very conservative parts, and there's you know there's still conservative parts in this country. I think if you see it, it's Gay Pride Month, right? It's Pride Month,
right?
And you know you're seeing a lot of people that are still a lot of anti-gay sentiment.
I can't believe it's
just
30 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way too much.
Who doesn't want to watch rainbows pooping, you know?
It's true. But Brady, unicorns 10 more days we can be bigots again. Just be nice. Be nice until July. Then we get the flags out and we start celebrating real America.
You know, what's interesting is I hear Brandon talk. I think I can relate.
Tell me how,
I can relate because I started off dipping Skoal.
Yeah.
Okay. Skoal chewing tobacco, and it's wintergreen and kind
of
cute
kind of the,
and whatever.
Kind of soft little ones.
And I smelt Copenhagen one time. Somebody else was doing. I go, absolutely not. I will never, ever, 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 ever do Copenhagen.
Right.
And then I did Copenhagen. And if there was something stronger than Copenhagen, I probably would have went on to that and on down the line.
And that's
okay, well, there you go. Yeah,
and that's
See, I can relate.
There you go.
Also,
yeah, exactly. I would say you're chasing the high. He's like, I'm chasing the high. Give me that dip.
Also, if you mishear that, it sounds like Dale just said, and I just said I'd never do coke again.
Right, yeah. I'm going to edit that.
And whenever Dale had to have sex, he had to have Copenhagen.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Dale is going to have that entire little thing he just did and replace everything about Skoal and dip with gay sex. And then I'm just going to play it nonstop for you on your show. It's fascinating. I always like a guest who's a wide open book. That's an amazing bravery. And also, just it does. People respect that. So I really do. I find
I appreciate you even having the conversation because it's this kind of community, this kind of radio show, this kind of conversation that's important to be had because it's important that the addicts out there know that, like, listen, it's a dark path. It's a dark road to get to where I was, but I laugh about it every day. Like we laugh about our war stories. So like I was so afraid, I'm never going to laugh again. I'm never going to joke around again. And like now I laugh harder than I've ever laughed before. But I want them to see this. Like I want them to know that like I struggled really hard.
How were you healthy is the question. How in the world did you get out of that gauntlet of mistreatment of yourself without everything?
It was dark. And when you read the book, there's a chapter in there. It's going to throw your listeners for a loop. I was a chaser. So people ask, well, what's a chaser in the gay world? I was at the worst of my worst. I was actively trying to get HIV.
What?
And the reason that I was so that because of all the sex that I was having and all the drugs that I was doing. I didn't want to fear going to the doctor to get tested. So just give it to me now so that I don't have to worry about it.
And I remember reading something we did. It was a
Givers and Chasers.
Givers and Chasers.
I didn't ever know Chasers, but I knew Givers, Gift Givers, they called them in San Francisco, would do that for people.
Correct. Yeah. So they have conversion parties. And so were these—
Conversion to HIV?
Conversion to HIV. And so it's super dark. But then, you know, when I went to that first counselor's meeting, the mental health crisis unit, the guy looked at me, and he wasn't a doctor. He looked at me and goes, why are you so angry? And I'm like, I'm not angry.
Right.
My friends will tell you I'll do anything. He goes, why are you so angry? I was like, you're making me angry. You asked me that question again.
Yeah.
And he goes, why are you so angry? And don't answer that. He goes, I'm going to tell you. He goes, nobody out there trying to get HIV, doing the things that you're doing to your body is a happy person. And that was the first guy ever who got cut right through me. You want to know why? The dude had 15 years sober off of meth.
Wow.
He cut right through another addict. You. He saw me at my core.
He saw your BS.
And it is crazy. So you asked me if I'm healthy. I am healthy. Yeah. And I think it is crazy how I came out.
I have no idea.
Never had HIV.
Yeah.
No, I'm healthy as can be. And as a matter of fact, my resting heart rate is 40 beats per minute, which I laugh every time because I was doing meth that sped up my heart rate.
Your heart's happy. Like, let's just relax for a couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly. The doctors are like, dude, we may actually have to speed up your heart. It's getting low. And I'm like, no, I'm healthy.
Don't do that again.
Can you give Dale some tips on a healthy heart?
Dale's resting heart rate is sometimes at like 4.
Yeah.
And then we have to revive him and then he's okay.
And then pull him off the sofa and get him to do some radio.
It is fast. That is fascinating. Some of it was probably suicide that wasn't your fault in a way.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I didn't care. And that moment, that first time I did meth, I looked at that. I looked in the mirror and my pupils like went solid black. And I tell people, I'm like, that's the day I invited the devil into my soul. Like, I just saw the transformation. And that's when I was not on the drug and I came off of it, that's when I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Yeah. Like, what the hell are you doing? You're crazy. But it was that I just didn't care anymore.
Don't think there's any way out of it. This is what you're...
I remember this. There was I used to go to bathhouses, right? That's, you talk about
Dale,
the
you can relate to that, too.
What is a bathhouse?
Right. This is how bad it got.
What's a bathhouse? Yeah.
Oh, a bathhouse is like from Roman times. I mean, that's what they were doing.
And he's going to ask you what Roman times are. Just tell him what a bathhouse is.
It's like a sauna where men have sex.
Okay. I can help Dale with this. Imagine you just finished losing to the Giants.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, the Steelers, probably. And you go into the locker room, and afterwards, all your teammates are in the locker room having sex.
There you go. That's a bathhouse, actually.
Yeah.
They turned it into a bathhouse.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
And so there was this one time, and this was towards the very end. I was sitting in the parking lot, and I started crying. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. All I want is a monogamous relationship with a family and a white picket fence. God. I was having this thought as I'm in the parking lot of this brothel, at this bathhouse. And I'm like, this is how uncontrollable it was. I'm sitting there sobbing. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And what do? I go into my glove box, get out my meth pipe, and I smoke. Turn into the zombie.
Wow.
And I walk straight in. Wow. And a month later, I ended up getting sober. But that's how crazy it was.
That's where it was the end.
I knew
that
it was wrong
last,
for me. And I was
well, here's the thing. Now. Here's the thing we can kind of close this up with. Yeah. And I also want you to help Brady with something, because this will be fun. But
yeah.
Somebody just emailed me and said, how and where can I listen to this segment again? It's fascinating, and I'd like to replay it for some people I know.
See? Amazing, right? Yeah, and it's a conversation. Kind of stuff, yeah, just exactly. Talk about it and, like,
yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. So it's one of those things.
That's awesome.
That's good. And this little fart
I'm glad
show,
your listeners aren't like freaked out by
something.
Oh,
there's
like,
a few, I'm sure. But you know what? It's a freaky thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, the reason you have to say let's talk about it is because it makes people feel crazy.
And that's why it's good to talk about it in this forum as well.
Yeah, because it's with people that normally would avoid the conversation. Dale.
Yeah. And thanks to our friends at New Vision Auto Gloss. Get up to $250 rebate.
Horrible.
See clearly. Drive safely.
Worst segues ever.
Brandon, at your worst, you were never as big a whore as that.
I like my friends at New Vision Auto Gloss.
Dale, do you have any final questions for Brandon?
No, I don't have.
Do you have anything? What is your overriding fear? Because this is something that you would never really discuss.
No, I would not
but
talk about it.
But your show is called The Boner Show.
Yeah, in a different way.
No,
I will say this. As a former dude in the NFL, I can't wait for the day when guys in the NFL can be openly gay and still hit the crap out of other dudes on the field. There are gay guys in the NFL that it's just sad to me that they're still like...
Yeah,
I think it's changing, though. I mean,
there's kids in high school that are super uber masculine that are out of the closet now. I think it's fascinating what's going to happen in the future.
At the end of the day, most football players, if you can help me win, I don't care.
They don't care.
No. Yeah. But if you're not helping us,
just
don't turn the showers into a bathhouse.
And it's like, get out of here, homo. I'm not dealing with this. I don't want that guy around here.
We
We're not going to win for
like that, Johnny.
Oh, we sure do. Let's have an open conversation about that, too. I want you to give a couple of stories to a real newsman.
Yeah, all right.
And let's do a comparison. Brady is our newsman.
Oh, he's the news reader.
Yeah. Flawless.
Give it, baby.
He transitions when he puts the glasses on.
The glasses
on.
Okay,
here we go. It's a serious
just like
news.
When you did meth, he turns into a news zombie when he puts his glasses on. Did you ever deliver the news cranked?
Never.
No kidding. So you could control that.
I controlled that.
Well,
I'm very proud of myself.
Differ.
I was never on the air high.
Wow. Yeah, that's where we're totally different. Ray's got several different.
Imagine reading the auto cue at like 10 million miles an hour.
Yeah,
I'm okay. Just tell me if I'm talking too fast. Today in Charlotte, here's the report.
30-minute newscast is over in 7 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Minutes.
I'm tanked on blood pressure meds.
Brady's full of drugs, but they're all keeping him alive. So we can't call that an addiction so much as we can just life saving materials. It's kind of like his hair. It's brought to you by our friends over at ReactDefense.com. It's the home of Tactical Black. And right now, if you go down there, sign up for a year of the greatest workouts you'll ever deal with and stuff that could actually save your life. They'll throw in the $150 nutrition program to go along with it and help you get into the best shape you've ever been in with the most amazing training I've ever been a part of. It's up at the House of Brews in Phoenix with Jay and Josh, over there in Glendale with my buddy Tony, and then in Chandler with Michael. It's ReactDefense.com. They do events, too. So if you've got a corporate event, you want to learn some stuff, self-defense tactics, all sorts of scenarios, they'll create them. All you got to do is ask how to do it. Because your business, by the way, and Brandon will tell you this from the news, FBI statistics, more likely to have an active shooter or an incident in your place of work than anywhere else you go. We fear football stadiums, concerts, and all that. Every day your workplace is the place that
how
it happens.
How scary is that?
It's horrifying. And there's stuff that you can do. Yeah, there's stuff you can do. Now, the entertainment drill with Brandon Lee as a special guest. Brady, please entertain me.
Well, the first story I'm going to talk about.
Give one to Dale.
Dale. Oh, well, I was going to ask you if you talked about the XFL today.
We did not talk today, but we have talked about it, yes.
Because they have an extra team.
Yes.
Part of the league.
What does that mean?
It's just a team full of guys that are ready to play for any team, that gets injured.
Well, they have a whole team practicing.
Yes.
You know, when the Arizona Football League was going on here, I unintentionally got involved. I think they were called the Mesa Marauders as a practice quarterback. And I would get my ass kicked by a bunch of guys I didn't know were semi-pro football players. And I was just a practice dummy before they told me, you realize you're the practice team. And I'm like, we had no idea. I was just playing with some friends. They drug me out here. It's getting killed out there.
What they're doing is these guys are going to practice as a team because then if somebody gets hurt, these guys will be ready to play football rather than – like Dez Bryant last year. Signs late.
Blows his
15 minutes into practice, blows his key.
So they'll be physically prepared.
Yeah. 35 to 40 guys on that, injury squad.
Settle down, Brandon. I know that phrase gets you.
I'm going to throw it out to my correspondent, Brandon, for the next story.
Brandon Lee, you're next.
All right, here we go. You see that? Did you see that transition?
It's already better.
Here we go, the big story. No, this is the head of the UFC. What's his name? Dana White, right? Yeah, Dana White, UFC guy, says that Tom Cruise wants to fight Justin Bieber.
They do want to do the fight.
He would like to do the fight.
Yeah. Is there a way that they can knock the crap out of each other and just never
and
wake up?
And then be done.
Both of them. At the same time, can they both each other chokehold each other until they pass out?
We'll learn it at reactdefense.com. I'll see if we can get that move. But yeah, Bieber challenged him, a week and a half ago, and everybody laughed and joked, and Tom Cruise was like, no, I'll do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Would you watch it?
Are you kidding? Of course I'd watch it.
I'd watch it.
And I would have no dog in the fight. Yeah. I'd be like, whichever one wins.
You don't care who won.
I'm more interested in who loses the worst.
Brandon, anyone out there you want to challenge? If you're
which news person's ass would you like to kick the most? Mark Curtis, probably. That's first on my list, but he's elderly. I like Mark a lot, but I want to punch him right in the nose.
He's such a nice guy doing it. Mark's such a cool guy.
Talk about consultants ruining things. Mark's wanted to shave that mustache for about 25 years, and they won't let him. That's the truth.
So if I am going to have to choose another dude here in the market.
Or a woman.
Or how about in
Steve Irvin, ABC 15.
I got a great story.
I'll take him
up. You want to beat him up just because you're tired of him?
Well, you just asked me who do I want to take into a
and
ring.
He's the one to drop. I watched him at the NFL Experience. My favorite story ever.
I'm kidding. He's probably really personally hurt right now. Sorry, Steve.
Sorry, Steve. Okay. But I'll tell the story about him anyway. So he used his news voice when this happened. But I kicked field goals in the NFL Experience when the Super Bowl was here. And I was not stretched out or anything. So I kicked a couple at 20. And they're like, nice. And they're going right through. I'm like, I'm better at this than I thought. Move it back to 30 yards. Go up. Line it up. Boom. Nail it. Next one through. Boom. Hamstring from my knee to my ass goes rip. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, okay, keep your cool, keep your cool. You look like an idiot. Limp out of here and go away. So I go over and Megan, my wife, standing there, and I'm like, I just rip my hamstring out, and she's laughing. We're laughing. Irvin comes in. He gives, excuse me, everyone, I got out of the way. And he walks right by everybody.
He does talk like that.
If it's his voice, he can't help it. So he walks right up there, and he starts to practice kick a couple of them because he's about to do a live news shot. And he goes, and the last one, I tried to keep it cool. I don't think anybody knew I was – it hurt. Irvin goes up, and he's killing it. I'm like, he's good at this. Gets the last one. He goes, my hammy! And he did the exact same thing. Shouts it out. He's like, well, I have to go on the news in 5 minutes and kick that again. And he tried it again. He goes, you don't understand. And all he did was explain his manhood back to the people.
He ripped it.
And I'm like, so Brandon would like to kick his ass, and I think that's a great one to choose.
In a fun way.
Oh, no, there's no fun. You just want to tear him apart.
Is there somebody you'd want to?
Yeah, some news person I'd want to drop like a bad habit?
Or another radio host.
That would be here all day.
Oh, jeez.
Line them up.
Yeah. Brandon's got to get to Botox. We haven't got time for this list. Are you kidding me?
On TV news, I don't think there's anybody. Linda Williams, probably. First one. I know I'd win. I don't want to lose.
Yeah,
actually, I'm going to go with Linda.
You think Linda would take me? I've never seen her in person. She may be more stout than I know. Brandon says she's got some size I have to worry about. I don't know for sure.
There's an online petition demanding that Time Magazine name Keanu Reeves their person of the year.
Why?
Because of that thing.
Yeah.
He's getting all the credit
44,000 signatures already.
He won't put his arms around women in pictures anymore. He just hovers above them because of the Me Too movement. And instead of that being a joke, it is now come on and going, this is exactly what we've wanted men to be for years. He's
respecting
our space. Keanu? I don't think so.
He's not? I don't know.
I don't think so.
That was my reaction when I heard that story. I was like, I think he's even into women.
Really?
Oh, is he? Yeah, I don't know.
Asexual?
I'm not like trying to out somebody.
Like completely not interested at all?
You do.
I just truly, like, when was the last time he ever got married? I'd never, I don't know. I'm not trying to out the dude, but I'm just saying.
It's the annual outing on the show. Yeah.
What about Tom Cruise?
I hope he's driving around the city right now. He just went, am I gay?
Oh, come in.
You think he's gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, here's the thing.
We can out him.
But here's the thing over, you know, over at my station, and a lot of other, actually, news stations are adopting it. There's, like, a no-hugging rule. So you have to actually, like.
Was there a lot of hugging going on before?
Of course, we're hugging Arizona's family. Like, you know, hug. I'm a hugger. You know, I hug everybody. Guys, girls, it doesn't matter. Hug everybody. But, like, you have to ask now. You're like, can I go in for the hug?
No kidding.
I got a question about
I think it's good, though, in many circumstances, because I think
we had to stop it with Dale.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was hurt.
Well,
I was
getting a little scared, too.
I did have one question for Brandon. So you're wondering about the Reeves guy. You're wondering about Tom Cruise. But, like, when I walked in here.
Oh, no, I didn't get that sense
of
it.
You didn't get that? Oh, okay. I was just...
As a matter of fact, I was like, please be hetero. Please be hetero. Please be hetero.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to make sure.
And then he walked by, I'm like, whew, he's straight.
Yeah. We had to stop the no-hugging policy for a while there because the Steinbeck character over here was killing too many puppies.
Wow.
Do you have signs up at Channel 3 that say no hugging?
Don't hug here.
No, but
have you accidentally hugged somebody and gone, oops, this is going sideways?
No, I ask. Even when I was at the station on Monday, I see the girls, I was like, can I come in for a hug?
Has anyone said no?
It's me, of course not.
No, I was going to say, like, most of them are like, sure, I'll hug you. Yeah. But I think I'd be the first one, absolutely not. Don't touch me. Well, that's weird.
And because when you think about it, though, like, if your superior is a guy, right, and you're a subordinate and you're a woman, and he goes to give you a hug, and if you don't want to give that hug, you're going to likely give it because he's your boss.
Well, the proper
I think
proper
that's true
way
of
is
anything.
To turn around and
spin in their arms. I just think if anybody, like if Ian said, do you want to hug me? I mean, we've known each other for a while. I'm like, can I have a hug? I'd be like, yes. I don't know why, but I wouldn't even give you that time to process.
I just go in for
it. Exactly. I'm not going to be too threatened by it.
I have to say,
like, if you start groping me, I mean, I have a no groping policy, but a hug. I mean, if you let me go, then we're fine.
Yeah.
I just don't get
it. Is that just Ian can't grope you or nobody can?
No
grope
one
you?
Should grope me at work.
Also,
right. That's a very good
that's
policy.
A great rule. I have, there's no signs necessary
I'd
for this.
I'd just like to say that in 3 years of knowing John, the thought has never entered my head, can I hug you?
No, hug is not the verb you would use.
Yeah. You started out right.
Look, I knew. That's why we've got that rule. There are signs, the 10-foot rule with Ian, for God's sake. But you and Dale should hug.
Yeah.
You and Dale should continue this with Brandon on a podcast.
Right? But you know what ruined it all was Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer and the list goes on.
They did. They ruined it. It was the good old days before they got caught.
Yeah. Used to be able to have a button under your desk to lock your office door.
Really terrible. I need to put a disclaimer. Days. Brandon Lee does not agree with anything that is said on KUPD radio
It's
today.
Okay. It's okay. But did you have a lock on your door to keep prisoners in when you have a meeting like Matt Lauer did?
You think they gave me an office?
Your cubicle lock?
I was in a cubicle.
Did you ever have a news gimp in the office?
That's a good idea.
You know?
Under the desk?
Just asking.
What?
Yeah, news gimps.
What is a news gimp?
I don't know. Brady's lost.
Remember,
I created a new
Brandon,
character.
Remember when I text you yesterday and said, it's really fun, but you can't control where the show goes?
Yeah,
there's the example.
There's the one. Well, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it. And I hope it does. And I do like seeing that when people are like, look, I need to hear this again.
I love that, too. That's great.
So, for whatever reason, if you know somebody that can relate, or maybe you don't know that you can relate until you open your ears and mind a little bit to something that may not be part of your life, Dale. Mascara Boy is available everywhere. Books are sold, and you can do that. Brandon Lee, maybe back in TV news someday here in town, right?
Definitely. I tell people my passion is news. I'll never give that up. My purpose.
When did that start?
Oh, God. I knew in junior passion. High school when I used to watch the news.
Kidding.
I knew in junior high
school.
Who
was your hero?
Paul Moyer. He was a local news guy in KNBC in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah,
Paul Moyer.
Yeah, he's long gone.
He was with Colleen Williams. And, you know, she's still out there. But yeah, that's who I grew up watching. And my parents always say, at seventh grade, I used to always watch the news with them at night. And I said, I want to do that. And I was pointing to a live reporter.
No wonder they abandoned you in your teens.
But
he's gonna be a news guy. Gotta get rid of this guy.
Brandon told me on the way up here that radio's far more exciting, and he wants to do that. So
this is my audition.
On the way out, we're gonna pitch this to Trip.
Well, I was gonna say, if things keep up over at Ian Station, there's gonna be an opening at KDKB. You could be interested in that. Your application on your way out the door.
But I love radio, man. I love what you guys do. It's just so much more free-flowing. It's unscripted. Yeah. It's real. I love
it's fun.
It. Yeah,
well, there
it's
you
fun.
Go. Well, thank you, Brandon. Awesome. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
And stay healthy for crying out
Hopefully
loud.
I'll get
what a
job story. After this after
No
this
kidding.
Show.
I don't know. After this show.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Dale, final words?
No.
What does that mean? Why does it seem like you're so you're trapped in a corner? Are you uncomfortable?
I think I did well, don't you?
I think you did great.
Yeah. Yeah. Converse.
You've evolved.
I converse.
Was that hard? Was that a tough moment?
He learned that word yesterday, so that's the sign off for today.
But you're all right.
I'm okay. I'm going to.
Do you have? Do you want to further this in a podcast later with Ian?
Well, Ian and I thought we were going to do our podcast.
Yeah.
Is that happening today?
Not today. We're going to get around to it. I've got to get a chair big enough in the room for
That's
it.
That's true. A throne, so to speak.
We'll talk off the air. We're probably off the air right now anyway.
No, settle down, Dan. They don't shut our station down like they do yours.
He's getting confused as to where he is.
Yeah, this thing just keeps rolling. All right, that's it. We're out of here. You guys have yourselves a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 98.
You guys partake?
I'll partake. 98. Hit me. 98.